Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Konstantinos Lazarakis. How are you?
Good. Great to be in Olympia this year.
Excellent. We're at the London International, or London Wine Fair these days, isn't it?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, you're an expert on Greece, so what we want to do today is talk about Greece and some of the wine regions in Greece.
That's what I'm here for, actually.
Yeah, you've just done a presentation on Greece. Sadly, I missed it. I was running late, got caught up in tubes and trains and everything. I really planned on attending, but sorry about that.
No worries.
Let's start off, though. I know you're quite pressed for time, and I want to get as much out of you as I can. Sorry, because Greece is one of those areas.
Fantastic.
I used to think I struggled with Italy, but now Italy is nothing compared to Greece.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a struggle, but then this is what we're trying to do, to help people understand in Greece, because Greek wines are great, but they do need some form of introduction, some form of developing proper stance against them. I think Greek wines are amazing, and I do invite people to taste as many Greek wines as possible.
Yeah, they're not that easy to get hold of in the UK, though. When I've been doing the WC Level 3 and we've needed to supply Greek wines, good quality Greek wines aren't exactly available on the high street very often, are they?
Yeah, but then to some degree that becomes to be their main advantage. So there are more esoteric craft wines that you have to go to the proper points to buy them, rather than dropping off to your local supermarket, regardless whether UK possibly has some of the best supermarket wine ranges in the world.
Okay, let's just talk a wee bit about Greece in general. There's around 200 indigenous grape varieties in Greece, which is, that's an awful lot for a small country.
Yes, so one of the most important advantages of Greek wines is the array of autochthonous grape varieties. We actually come up with new grape varieties almost every year, because we are rediscovering the old vineyard up there with a grape variety that no one heard of, or maybe an old guy knows the name. So we are still discovering ourselves in many ways. We have now about 200 grape varieties being identified. There are people that claim this number could go up to 600, so very close.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so very close to the number of indigenous grape varieties present in Italy,
yeah.
But at a far lower acreage. However, you have to keep in mind that in terms of being present in the market, then we are talking at the moment with about 50 grape varieties. But every year we have at least one new grape variety being introduced in the marketplace by someone who is producing some monovarietal wines.
I noticed the wines that you were showing in your presentation, one of them was a blend of the Greek variety Exinomerov and Syrah and Merlot. Are there many international grape varieties in Greece?
Yeah, you have to keep in mind that Greek people do enjoy drinking Greek wine. We are consuming about 95% of the wine we are producing. And Greek wine consumers might enjoy our Xinomavro and our Assyrtiko, but then they can be quite fascinated by the flavors and aromas of grapes like Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Syrah, Merlot. And because these Greek consumers are the Greek wine producers' main customers, then, of course, as you can imagine, Greek producers do want to have a closer look on the international varieties as well. Then there are people claiming that, you know, Greek wine is not an easy sell. So if you're having the strategy of developing your Greek wine sales with using just autochthonous grape varieties, to some markets, possibly like UK, it might be very difficult. But then in other places, like, for example, the States, it's a whole situation, a whole different situation. So a sommelier in New York saying, like, hey, do you like Syrah and Merlot? Yep, I like. Well, we have a great Greek wine based on Merlot and Syrah. And also there is another grape variety that's local, and it's called Xinomavro. So to some markets, the international grapes are a way of allowing people to be initially introduced to Greek wines in a slightly more
softer way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a wee bit about the PDOs, or the old Appellation Controles. What do you call them in Greece?
Okay, we have been doing some big changes along the EU reform of appellations. So now we do have effectively two tiers of appellation wines. At the top, we have the PDO. Actually, we call them POP.
POP, I like that. I can pronounce
POP,
that.
Yes, it's POP. So PDO in Greek is POP, and it's Prostatevomeni Onomasia Proelefsos. In the old days, the POP wines were split in two subcategories, what we called the OPAP and OPE. So the OPAP and OPE wines were merged in the POP category.
Okay.
And then we have the regional wines, what in France used to be called Vin de Pays.
Yep.
And these are now called PGI. Mm-hmm. In Greece, we call them PIE. And PIE stands for Prostatevomeni Geographiki Endixi.
Excellent, excellent. And that's where the likes of things like Retsina, which is a... in the UK, it's got a bad reputation of people drinking it on holiday. It's the wine with the pine resin in it, isn't it?
Yes, Retsina is the wine with the pine resin. Unfortunately, most of the people coming down to Greece are treated with the bad Retsina. And people are making bad Retsina by taking bad wine and adding really bad pine resin in.
Yeah.
If you taste good Retsina, and believe me, there are things like good Retsina where you have a lovely wine and then you send that lovely wine with top quality pine resin, then you get wines that are true Retsinas but are just lovely drinks.
Really? Because I've only had a wee bit of Retsina and I wasn't impressed with it, but is it more likely I'm just trying really cheap stuff that's not really...
Yeah, I totally agree. And then when I'm talking to non-Greek people about Retsina, and these are people that love wine, I do draw the analogy with Fino Sherry.
Yep.
Most standard wine drinkers would be scared away by the taste of a Fino Sherry.
Yep.
It's a highly individual style,
yep,
really powerful, with flavors into your face. But it's all about food and wine. Mm-hmm. It's all about being able to sit down in front of 20 different tapas, every single one of them being really flavorful and really intense. So the only way you could enjoy these small bites of food is having a wine with enough power to clean your palate from your previous bite and allow you to enjoy your next bite. This is exactly how Retsina works, and Retsina can be a great wine.
So you would say it's more of a food wine as opposed to a drinking wine?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And what are the grape varieties in Retsina?
Well, the main grape varieties used in Retsina is Roditis and Savatiano.
Yep.
Actually, Savatiano has a bad name, mainly because of it being used to produce bad quality Retsina.
Okay. So,
but then, believe me, there are people now taking a closer look to Savatiano, and they're making not just great Retsinas, but they make great dry and raisinated wines. I recently had a 12-year-old Savatiano that was given to me blind, and I was thinking I was tasting a 10-year-old Burgundy or whatever.
Oh, really?
It was a lovely wine.
And is it Retsinas grown all throughout Greece?
There are places that are more famous for their Retsinas than others. The general area of Athens, what we call Attica, and also northern Greece are really big in Retsinas. And a lot of people in the sort of middle, lower classes are still enjoying their pint of Retsina with lunch. Or even pre-lunch as an aperitif. But Retsina slowly declines. I would be very surprised if my son's generation will be drinking Retsina apart from the occasional...
Yeah, family traditional thing. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.